previously on Getting the Mecca.
I bring you something that I didn't ever think I was ever going to do, and that is a look at my One Piece journey so far. We've also assembled many members of the Straw Hats already, that is everyone from Zoro at Romance Dawn, Nami at Orange Town. Because there are so many political elements to analyze that I just want to get my teeth right sunk into it.
This is Getting the Mecca, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it.
Welcome back to Getting the Mecca. I'm your host Jamal today, and in today's episode, I didn't know I was going to do this, but here is another One Piece episode. As I said in the last episode, I've had my head buried within One Piece, and I'm enjoying it so far, I'll be completely honest with that. And so I decided to do another episode where I talk about it for 30 or so minutes, because why not? So in this episode, I want to cover more of the reading which I've been doing. Last time I did cover One Piece, I was around chapter 200, I think it was, towards the end of Alabasta, basically. And now I've entered Jaya Arc, and I'm slowly getting to 300. And it's been the space of about 4 weeks I've been reading One Piece, I think. So I kind of just want to cover what I've been reading lately, nothing more than that. So if you do enjoy this episode, it would be lovely if you left it a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, whether that's on any other podcast app where you can leave reviews or a comment or anything like that. I'll try to read it at the beginning of the podcast. And there isn't really much to say for the opening of this episode. Let's just get right into it. Here is episode 59 of Getting the Mecca. Another One Piece discussion. As usual, I'll give you my alerts for the episode in regards to spoilers and that stuff. As this is kind of just an unfiltered self-discussion with you guys, if I have the right to call it that, there will be spoilers, and that is spoilers all the way up to the Skypiea Saga, or essentially the East Blue Saga, Alabasta Saga, and the Skypiea Saga. I'm not particularly going to be talking about everything that's happened so far, but I may incorporate some of the stuff within my discussion, so I just want to warn you for that, that in this discussion, it will be discussing everything up to the end of Skypiea, although I haven't particularly finished Skypiea. I'm almost finished. I'm on like the last 20 chapters or so. So I know I spoke about One Piece only a few weeks ago. I think it's been about 3 weeks now? I think something like that. But I really couldn't help discussing it again, since there are just so many things to mention and talk about, and a lot of things have happened in the space of 100 chapters. Maybe I'm just a bit of a, although I know I'm not reading that fast or as fast as I was a few weeks ago, but it doesn't feel as long as it once seemed like. From the outside, One Piece seems like a very overwhelming piece of work. 900 episodes or 900 chapters. And I'm not even going to try watching it. At least, I know that if I was to ever start watching it, it would be once I've finished the manga, I'll kind of just watch weekly with everyone else. But I won't be attempting to start the whole anime from the beginning, because that is too much work and I'm not willing to put that in. Especially since watching an anime takes an allotted time slot. It takes 20 minutes or so. Sure, there's filler skipping, but it will take you basically a set amount of time to finish it, versus manga, which is really based on reading speed. But even so, it did seem rather overwhelming from the start, but now I'm about almost one third in, it doesn't feel like it's been that long so far. I think the chapters just go really quick because I read it physically in omnibus format. I will eventually convert to just reading digital only, because I can't afford all that much One Piece. But I have really been able to get through the chapters quite quickly, because as soon as one ends, you don't have to, you know, go out of that chapter, go to the next one. You kind of just go right through and through and through, read the question corner, go to the next, go to the next. But back to Skypiea, I've almost finished this arc, and the few things which I want to cover, mostly in relation to our former discussion on idealism, I want to add a few things to that pool, because I think that I've definitely had, not really a change of heart, but there have been some developments that have really nuanced this discussion, which I want to have with you guys. I'm not particularly going to give an entire plot summary, because there's too much, but let's just say this. By the time we're in Skypiea arc, we've dealt with Crocodile and we've saved Alabasta, as well as quelled the revolutionary feeling of the rebels in the Alabasta arc. We've also managed to pass through Jaya Island, and which we eventually find out is linked to Skypiea Island. Within Skypiea, we then learn that this has its own history and traditions. Jaya also introduces us to a lot of the shifts in the world which are happening at the current moment which the Straw Hats are within Jaya. And that's mostly because this arguable power vacuum has been created after the great defeat of Sir Crocodile in Alabasta. Also alongside this, we just meet a lot of characters, some which are related to the Straw Hats, or at least because of the Straw Hats we meet, so characters like Blackbeard. And we also see some returning characters like Mihawk. Also, we're introduced to a bunch of other characters as well, like Whitebeard, as well as Ace, although Ace isn't necessarily here in Skypiea per se, although I didn't really cover that in the last episode, but we met Ace, met Doflamingo as well, which I'm really excited about. The Skypiea arc essentially continues on after the events of Jaya, and deals with the kami known as Eneru or Enel. I've heard two different translations, although from what I'm reading, the Viz translation for English, I'm just gonna say it as Eneru, but we've met Eneru, and it deals with many issues like false consciousness, idealism kind of, and a few other things here and there. What I find really cool about post-Alabasta One Piece is that I did feel that previously it felt like this very binary conflict within these ideologies. Not really in the critical sense, but it did feel like a very hard power versus idealist conflict. I mentioned that in the former episode. But now that we've progressed a bit, it feels like there's a bit more nuance within these. We have multiple characters which subscribe to a similar train of thought or a similar school of thought, but have a different approach to it. It doesn't feel as if the Straw Hats, or at least Luffy, is an idealist amongst an entire world of realists. It's not really one versus the world, but we still do have multiple differentiations between the way of which one character tackles idealism to another. I guess that kind of does show the vastness of the Grand Line, that there will be so many different people and so many different means of thinking. The Grand Line is just something else that one can't really put their finger on. I guess that was kind of the thing prior to the Grand Line of East Blue, when it was really hyped up. Not really hyped up, but the Grand Line sounded like hard mode for One Piece. Like, you thought East Blue was tough, you went through Baratie, you went through Arlong Park and everything else, but the Grand Line, oh, that's something else. And I kind of found that rhetoric kind of funny. And now we're in there as well. It really does prove the amount of differentiation between people and how tough this world is and how expansive this world is. The Grand Line is managing to prove that. The two big examples I'd say when it comes to the idealists, kind of, I'll get into that later, but the two good examples for me would be Blackbeard and Eneru, or Kami Eneru. I hate to call him Kami because he doesn't deserve that title at all. The one that was made really obvious was Blackbeard when he had his line within Jaya that kind of ended things, sort of, when he says, "A man's dream will never end." It kind of just points to the infinity of idealism and a few other things. And then we also have Eneru. I don't know if Eneru is an idealist, but it's more the abuse of ideals and the misuse and mistreatment of the mindset of the Skypiean people. But as I was getting at before, I think it just shows a bit more nuance and depth to a narrative when one is able to not particularly just pit ideologies against each other, but show divisions within ideologies. And I think that contributes to the depth, which is the thoughts and debates along the grand line, if that makes sense. But also just, that is how the world is. And I think One Piece, which is a manga which attempts to build a massive world and construct a world which is realistically the size of ours, it doesn't really feel like a microcosm or a sample world of a bigger world, and kind of just talk about themes within a smaller world and how that affects or reflects our world. It really is attempting to create an entire earth and mirror that in contrast to ours. And so I think that's a very big step. It's a very subtle thing to do, but it's still very valuable to. And I don't really want to say that One Piece's entire attempt is to represent the real world, but if you are to construct a world, I think it is valuable that you create some nuance between beliefs, because there will be people that believe what you believe, but in a different sense, or have a different approach to it. With that being said, based on my progress so far, I can't really say the difference in beliefs between Blackbeard and Luffy, just because we only know about Blackbeard's idealism, at least subscription to idealist thought, through one line, which is, "A man's dream never ends," which is a massive statement nonetheless. It basically confirms him as an idealist to some degree. But we can't necessarily get that nuanced yet. But I am very excited to see that come out, because I know Blackbeard does have a pretty big role in One Piece generally. So that is something which I'm going to be holding on for. And just to clarify, because I don't think I made that clear, it's essentially Blackbeard making the statement that ideas completely transcend the physical. It's almost a supremacy over the physical world. Ideas are infinite, unlike physical resources or material resources, which end and don't have that same level of longevity. I guess we can say that this is a thing in relation to other characters which aren't necessarily said. When I say said, I just mean they're not alive. So if you take Gold Roger, for example, his idea kind of is still existent. Obviously, the One Piece is, we hope, although I don't think we know yet, is physical, but that idea has still transcended. The idea and legacy of piracy has come from him. And so that is, I guess, a good example of the infinite nature of ideals. I guess that contrast is made between Blackbeard and the rest of the pirates in Jaya, who really love this idea of the new age of pirates. It kind of does sound a bit gatekeepy in the context of pirates. I'm not really a person to talk about gatekeeping on the podcast or anything, because I know that's something that other people maybe want to talk about more. I'm not here to talk about the community, but in relation to pirating and maybe even privateering because of the warlords of the sea and such. These very limiting statements from these people that believe that they're really in touch with reality, that this is how it is, you should know how pirating works, it doesn't work like this, Luffy. That is kind of the feeling I got from those characters in Jaya. I guess what is really valuable, I guess, from Jaya is similar to what we're talking about when it came to the nuancing of ideologies. We see that the notion of realism, or these people that believe that they're really in touch with reality, goes a lot further than the state level and monarchical level. I guess Crocodile was probably the first true realist or believer of hard power, as well as, say, Wapol and the Drum Island arc. But the notion of realism doesn't necessarily stay just within the confines of the state or a monarch, but it exists in the people as well. It exists within pirating. Just to put this in context to what I said before, I like how you don't necessarily have one side that believes one thing exclusively and another side that believes another thing exclusively. It's almost become diluted within both sides. And I think that will make for some really interesting contrasts and debates to be had later into the narrative. I know there's still so much more to come. I'm basically just emerging into the Water 7 saga. I'm 300 chapters in, so there is still much more to come, and I'm sure that these debates will be had. They already are being had, but at least I'm sure that there'll be more added to this discussion. But I think just seeing things shift and change over time is still really cool and pleasant to witness. And then we have Eneru idealism and a false consciousness. I just want to establish, I'm not really calling Eneru an idealist. I don't really know what ideology he has, but it's more of just what he does with his power, which is probably most important for me. What I think we can take from Eneru as an antagonist isn't particularly idealism, but his abuse of the mindset and ideas of the people. It's more of understanding the nature of power and authority within One Piece, and the, I'm gonna say it again, value which comes with having power and authority within this world. The way the story seems to be progressing so far, with the Alabasta, Crocodile, and now Eneru within Skypiea, power has proven to be a lot more than just physical resources, but instead the ability to instill false consciousness within to the people of said country or state. And this is to an extent to which they don't actually know they're being manipulated, or controlled, or exploited. Those in high places essentially have the ability to control the narrative of the people, and that sounds kind of basic. But when you think of it, if someone is pretty much able to morph your psychology and thinking into the direction to which they want, around the ideas which they want, and this is embedded within almost every facet of life, then you have complete control. And so I guess One Piece has proven with Eneru, Crocodile to an extent, yes, but I feel like Eneru really managed to embody that idea very well, that power comes from not just resources. I feel like WAPO was the complete opposite of, I have all my resources, I have my 20 doctors, you can't do anything about it sort of thing. Eneru is the reverse. He is the, you know, I want to say has true power, probably more valuable than any source of hard power per se, although he does have that too, but it's being able to control the activities of anybody, because that is all they know. You've managed to control their thinking, control how they live, how they raise their kids, how they react to foreigners and everything else. In summary, those in high places have the ability to mold and shape the ideas of those below them. It kind of reminds me a bit, and I know I have to kind of bring some sort of theorist into everything, but it kind of reminds me a bit of what Marx talks about in relation to false consciousness and how, and although he didn't particularly say this part, that these notions of hegemony are embedded and interwoven within every aspect of life in order to retain this notion of false consciousness for the proletariat or the people below them. So those people don't know that they're being exploited by capitalism, or in the case of Skypiea, exploited by this false idea of religion or so. I'm not dissing religion, don't get me wrong, but I'm more of dissing the fact that it's being used as a vehicle for control. Everything within the superstructure of society is used to bend the consciousness of everybody else in order for them to conform to what is believed to be the right way of living, which the person who established that very narrative wants to retain. I guess where characters like the Straw Hats come in, they have the ability to, although they're not particularly immune to false consciousness as an entire topic, because that's almost too wide, but because they see it from the outside looking in, they have the ability to sort of suss this out very easily and then tear it down, basically. I don't know how subtly this was done, and whether it needs to be subtle is another question, but with the fight between Eneru and Luffy for the first time, because I'm sure that there's going to be more fighting at the stage which I'm at, but with the fighting which was happening, it's kind of interesting how that is sort of maybe a bit of a representation of that outside-in perspective on the idea of false consciousness. Luffy, who doesn't think, is able to fight against the mantra that Eneru has, which is entirely based around thinking, and so he simply isn't able to control those thoughts. I don't know how fond I am with the idea of mantra. It is a bit, because it's, I don't want to say it's wishy-washy, but it's the fact that you can't see it that makes it a bit hard to kind of get to grips with it. But I think that's kind of okay. But also, it's more interesting how mantra is only half of the thing when it comes to knowing one's thoughts with the voices. Because Enru, as I said, is able to abuse the thoughts of people, not just through mantra, but through the vehicle, which is religion, and I am the Kami. And then even when we go to the history of Jaya and Skypiea, that's a thing which has been passed on. It's this same false consciousness which is used for a vehicle of control, or a mechanism for control. As the story has progressed, I've kind of come to the conclusion as of now, because my ideas are only the ideas I'm having 286 chapters in, that there is no stronger power really than having the thoughts of the people on your side, or having the ability to control the thoughts of people and the masses. Controlling and directing a narrative and filtering the ideas of people is stronger than any devil fruit, or stronger than any pirate ship and the cannons on it, or any sword, or anything really. Because in this world, as it's trying to prove, ideas still reign supreme, and if you're able to control the ideas of people, then you can pretty much control everything else. Just to sidestep a bit, it is a bit related, but I think that, and I don't want to theorize too much, because theory isn't my thing. I kind of just want to read it and see what happens, rather than try to predict everything that's going to happen. But I think we're slowly getting closer to understanding the workings of the world government, as well as the warlords of the sea. It seems that as control seems to be shifting amongst this world, we're slowly getting a bit more information into this hierarchy. And as the control seems to break down, we get more insight into how they're trying to patch that up. And everything seems to be shifting and moving simultaneously. As one other thing falls down, another thing gets back up again, and the entire game changes. And on the nose of the world, I don't want to be critical, because I have enjoyed Skypiea. Well, it's not like I don't want to be critical, but I have enjoyed Skypiea nonetheless. It has been a fun experience. But can I say it's my favorite arc so far? Not particularly. Weirdly enough, and I'm kind of just going to give this a bit more of a positive spin rather than go into my criticisms, but the parts which I've enjoyed the most are actually the bits that don't involve the Straw Hats. And I know that sounds, I don't say brutal, but it does sound rather scathing and a bit mean. But my favorite parts have actually been just seeing everything else work around them, or seeing the world work around it, or them. I think that might only be the case with this saga though, not necessarily the entire thing, because there's only been this much historical context, as well as outside context and the shifts within the world, only in the Skypiea saga. There was a bit within the Alabasta saga, I think, with stuff like Redhead Shanks and that sort of stuff. But on the whole, no, it was more of the conclusion to Logetown, I think. That was where we got most of the shifts. But within Jaya, I really enjoyed seeing the world kind of work on its own and try to patch up the power vacuum that was Crocodile's defeat. Meeting Blackbeard, Whitebeard, that sounds like a really epic rivalry, but Blackbeard, Whitebeard, Doflamingo, meeting Mihawk again, which was kind of cool, and all those other characters fills me with a lot of excitement. And the reason for that is that I think it's really cool knowing that this world actually works on its own. That is only half true. Let me explain. I don't particularly think that nothing is influenced by the Straw Hats. Obviously, these things are influenced by the Straw Hats. The reason why they got together was because of the events at Alabasta. I fully understand that. But what's interesting is seeing the world operate not necessarily because, or directly because something happened and the Straw Hats caused it, and that is why the world is changing. It's more of a reaction. It's more of the effects, or the after effects, that happens while things are also happening. It doesn't seem to be a direct cause and effect right in front of it, because the Straw Hats did it. But while the Straw Hats are doing things, things are also happening within the world, which is going to change the circumstance and hopefully diverge with the forefront of the narrative, which is the Straw Hats' journeys to find the One Piece. I think it's just nice knowing that the chess pieces kind of, again, this is only half true, but the chess pieces move even when the Straw Hats aren't directly doing something to make them move. If anything, just call it an indirect consequence, or just things are happening within the background. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. But on the whole, I have enjoyed the Skypiea saga as I am reaching the end, and I want you to take that with you. Overall, it's a net positive, it's a very positive even. I did disadvantage myself maybe, or warp my perception a bit by checking, and I kind of do regret this, but by checking a few people's arc rankings and seeing Skypiea as, or many, or quite a few people from what I checked, view Skypiea as very high quality One Piece, and I don't disagree per se. I think this story has been rather high quality for what I've read so far, and I've enjoyed it. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that notion, but I did find it hard at times to read, maybe just because I was a bit lost, but sometimes I found it very overwhelming with a lot of things happening. The difference with Alabasta for me was that there was a lot less to focus on. It was the, if you wanted to just kind of stay on track, what you needed to remember was that we're trying to stop the rebellion, and in order to do so we need to stop Crocodile, and that was kind of it. I knew there were more complicated things within that, but it kind of boiled down to that. Stop the rebellion, in order to do so, stop Crocodile. Kind of. In the case of Skypiea, it gets a bit more, not messy, but just a bit more noisy. I'm using words to kind of just cover this up, really. But we had to stop Eneru, we have to escape Skypiea because we kind of trespassed. We have the history of Noland and everything behind that. And this probably boils down to, and it's not really the fault of how it's structured, it just is structured different. I'm not really going to complain that it's not structured right, because that isn't my job to do that. But the simple difference is that Alabasta has more time to contextualize, it has more time to gear itself up by the time we get to Alabasta itself by introducing Vivi earlier. We have all the stuff at Whiskey Peak, we get all the stuff at even Reverse Mountain, and as we get further through and through, we just get a greater idea and sense of what is going on and the urgency of the situation. Skypiea and Jaya does all its contextualizing within, or really, because we only have two arcs within the saga, Jaya does, it is a sense of contextualization, but we only know that when we get to Skypiea itself, which is kind of odd. But as a result, Skypiea feels like it's doing a lot of contextualizing within itself, and I don't have a problem with it, it just occurs as a bit convoluted sometimes. I kind of felt this sometimes within Oda's drawings as well. Not a bad thing. I think Oda's a great artist, and there are some features which I really love about his work and art. But at times I was just a bit confused because there were so many things going on within some panels. And the designs as well really upgraded, let's just say that, with stuff like Wiper, and we have this massive snake as well. And sometimes there are just so many things going on within some panels which I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'd have to take a pause to kind of decipher what was going on and how said character got hit. But it's not a big deal. I'm enjoying the arc, it's not done yet, so there are some things which I still probably haven't experienced yet, which I will experience. But it was just a bit different from my Alabasta experience, and so One Piece is evolving for sure. To what extent is it evolving is another question, but I'm enjoying it and I'm definitely seeing some change within the work. And with that all said, that is the analysis done for this week. I don't know if I will be speaking about One Piece again. I know I said that probably last time. It is a bit of an escape for me as well, so it's kind of nice to just chill out for about 50 minutes or so. That's the length usually my recording goes up to. And then just chill out and talk to One Piece to my computer, which ends up being you guys eventually. But that is the main discussion for this week. Let's go to the In The Moment segment and talk about something anime or manga related. If you are new to the podcast or the In The Moment segment, I don't know, maybe you didn't make it this far ever, sadly. The In the Moment segment is very simple. All I do is talk about, for about 5 or 10 minutes, something which I've been doing, which is anime or manga related. More often than not, an anime which I've been watching or a manga I've been reading. I don't give out any spoilers either. This is kind of a continuation from the last In the Moment segment, where I basically started by saying that I haven't been watching much anime lately. And that is because, and I'm kind of going to the root of the problem, the reason for that is that I've actually been trying to clear up everything which I've been watching. This is something which I've never really bothered to do. I've kind of done it, but I never really committed to it. I made the pledge, I'm pretty sure a few years ago, that when I was kind of, I don't want to say I was new to anime, but I wouldn't say as far as I am now down the line, that I would only watch about, you know, 2 or 3 shows at a time. And that ended up turning to about 10. that ended up turning to about 10 or 15, if not 20. And I'd have a lot of things which I'm kind of just holding, and then I'll watch something in a burst and I'll hold that back because it's about 25, and 25 in my head is really long, and then I'll switch back to another. I kind of juggle them all around until I finished one of them, and then I'll sub in a new one because you only live once, and I'll continue doing that. But lately I've decided to really put the work in and only watch about a few things at a time, or at least finish everything which I've been watching it at a time. At the moment, I'm trying to finish shows like Eden Vein. Okay, I do want to make it clear and say that I am watching seasonal anime too. And when it comes to seasonal anime, I used to kind of be very in tune with the race. So when the new seasonal anime would come out, I would have watched all the other ones, and then I would watch the new ones and everything. And I would make sure that I didn't necessarily fall behind. But nowadays I just don't care. And that is something I'll say for the new anime fans, that you don't really need to care about what everyone's watching at the same time. Sometimes it is pleasant to kind of discuss an anime as it comes out. Or even when it comes to manga, if you're into like Weekly Shonen Jump, you read One Piece, you want to talk about the new One Piece chapter of My Hero, you want to speak about the new My Hero chapter the day it came out, that's totally fine. And I'm not trying to control that. But honestly, if you continue down that race, it can get very tiring sometimes, that you're constantly trying to just keep up with what's coming out week by week. But it obviously does depend on your schedule and everything you're doing, so I'm not trying to dictate what you do. But for me, I've kind of not bothered anymore to fall behind, so I'm trying to finish some things from earlier seasons, like It Invaded. I recently did that with Kimetsu no Yaiba as well. I did that with, although I'm now up to date with Fire Force, because I really do like that anime, I say it all the time, but I wasn't caught up with Fire Force until pretty much a few weeks before season 2 came out as well. But I actually really did enjoy doing that catch up. But lately I've not been starting new things besides films and so. So I did start The Dragon Dentist, and The Dragon Dentist is only 2 45-minute films basically, if not 50 minutes or something like that. So I kind of watched those across the course of a week, if not separated by 2 weeks. So I kind of forgot everything that happened after the first week. But I'm trying to just catch up with everything and just reduce the load before I start new things. It's kind of an unsaid rule when it comes to anime and anime fans. It's the idea that don't start anything new before you clear your watch list, but everyone just doesn't do it. They just know the rule, but they just ignore it. And that is me as well, which I'm trying to actually solve. But it's just clearing those things which I find really pleasant and satisfying for me. It feels kind of euphoric, I'm not gonna lie. And so that is the In The Moment segment for this week. A bit of a weird one. I will probably get to talking about anime as I manage to finish some of the anime on this long list of mine. But for now, let's just hope for the best and hope that I finish it. Now that that is all over, let's just go to some closing thoughts and wrap up everything which I've been discussing in regards to One Piece lately. So what should you take from my sort of One Piece discussion today? I've enjoyed the Skypiea saga so far, and I'm almost completed it. Do I think it's perfect? Not necessarily. I know I kind of do throw around this, is it perfect, is it not thing, even though I have these long speeches about subjectivity. I don't mean perfect in the sense of it being flawless, but do I enjoy it to the maximum extent which I could? Not so much, and I think that's just because I find, well, I have problems with sometimes how convoluted it does get at times. With that being said, there are some extremely enjoyable enjoyable moments in this saga. I love seeing the world just move about by itself, kind of. I know that's not completely true, but it's nice seeing the events that are occurring outside of just our main characters in the foreground influencing the narrative. It's nice to see the repercussions from the sidelines or in the back end that we don't necessarily, or our characters aren't necessarily seeing. The ideas are definitely evolving alongside the progression of the story also. A lot more nuance in relation to the ideas of, say, hard power and idealism. Some of these ideas are embedded within many characters within the pirate world, as well as some of these ideas are being abused by other characters. Eneru and idealism, although he isn't an idealist per se, but abusing the thoughts and conscience of those within Skypiea, I think is a very big step for One Piece, as it's showing that ideology can also be abused, and control, which is a theme which we've already come across throughout the story, is the greatest power that one can obtain. Thank you for listening to this episode. That has been episode 59, one of my just short One Piece discussions. It's just fun to mix things up sometimes, and I think that is what I need within this content sometimes. But that is the episode for this week. Hopefully you did enjoy it. If you do enjoy the show, it would be lovely if you left it a review. Lets others know about the show, and also just helps build the Get in the Mecha community and tells me what you think about this show as well, whether that's positive or negative. Have a great rest of your week. If you are listening to this on Friday, have a great weekend. I hope this is a good way to kickstart your weekend. I appreciate you a lot. But be sure to have a good one. I have been your host, Jamal, today, and this has been Get in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-bit title screen by Joth. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. Difference by Chasers Gaming. And Anomaly, Barrack Media's UnderSoundImage.org.